telling jokes on a cruise ship for a living had never entered my mind. I didn't even know it was a thing. But one day, about 5 years ago, I was down at South Bank in Melbourne hanging out on the busking pitch, having a few beers with my old mate, super magician Nick Nicholas. Financially, things were tough. I'd had to break into my piggy bank and was down on my last foreign coins, which are only useful for jamming up bank coin machines. Nick understood my predicament. We spent a lot of time counting foreign coins together while busking on the streets of London. He told me he'd just started working on cruise ships and that I should look into it. You only have to do 2 shows a week and you don't get paid in foreign coins. Easy as. Why had everybody kept this secret from me? Nick bought me a cold Melbourne bitter long neck and gave me his agent's name. The agent put up a stand-up comedy showcase featuring all his potential acts for several cruise entertainment directors at a pub in Fairfield. There are about 20 comedians in cheap suits, the biggest ragtag bunch of muttons dressed up as lambs to the slaughter that Serbia had ever seen. I wore a cheap suit I got as a payment for a corporate golf day gig and brought my fiddle and ukulele. I did my best 15 minutes and stormed it. Pardon the cruise ship pun. A week later, I was headed to Circular Quay in Sydney as I boarded my first cruise ship with my new four-wheel drive suitcase. A panicked thought crossed my mind. Are boat people even allowed to make jokes about boats? Are we even allowed to enjoy cruising? First night on a ship, I'm sitting there on me Pat Malone, looking around the crew bar, noticing that it's strangely divided. White people on one side, Filipinos on the other, Indians in one corner, Pacific Islanders in a group, and the Eastern European jazz pianist by himself, because Eastern European jazz is a lonely, lonely universe. And I'm thinking, who should I go hang with? First, I try to go hang with the Pommy people, but I freak them out with my Filipino cabin steward face and bogan Aussie accent. So I go hang with the Filipinos, who seem to be having the best time anyway. Coronas and karaoke, grouse. And because I look like a new cabin steward, I fit in straight away. But shocking news, not all Filipinos can sing. Anyway, the main entertainment is a jukebox with hits from the 70s, 80s and 90s, which they'd stopped feeding when Michael Jackson went white and Vanilla Ice went black. There's also a soccer table, which looks like the most popular activity besides smashing black sambuca shots, and a pool table with balls that are flat discs so they don't roll off with the waves. And here and there are $5 cigs and $1 shots. I've died and gone to heaven. Then I spied this Filipino guy, Francisco, strut in, and in slow motion, he opened a little cupboard full of cup noodles. Lights and sirens and whistles go off in my head. I've just hit the jackpot. I think I got to get to know this guy. So I go up to him and I say, Mabuhay, Manila. What's all this, putang inamol? Which means, welcome, Manila. What's all this, you son of a bitch, in Tagalog. He replies, noodles, tang ina, which means noodles, you son of a bitch. I ask, how do I cook them? He shrugs his shoulders and answers, oh, I don't know. Get a kettle. I said, where the hell am I going to get a kettle in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of bumfuck nowhere? He shrugs his shoulders again and says, oh, I don't know. So I go to the bar and I get him a double bourbon. He leans over and whispers, I'll get you a kettle tomorrow. Best Chinese whispers ever. Happiness is a refugee with cup noodles and a kettle. When my family and I were on board the American battleship that rescued us from the South China Sea, noodles were my first happy meal.